So go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to take a brief interlude from our study of Ezra and Nehemiah. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So now open our eyes, God, to your truth, the call to holy love. Help us see it. Help us gain an understanding both of its importance and its power, and how it is brought into our hearts and lives by your mercy. We ask this in Jesus. Amen. Now, last time I preached, we finished our study of Ezra, and when we get back from family camp, we'll begin with Nehemiah. But here between the two, I want us to think about something that Ezra brought to our attention there in Ezra 9 and 10. And that is the necessity of the believer to live a life set apart, separate from the sins that characterize life in this world. We saw that concern in Ezra chapter 9, verse 1, in the sins of Israel. Ezra 9, 1 says, after these things, the officials approached Ezra and they said, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands with their abominations. And so there was a crisis. They had compromised their faith. We see it again in the solution to this crisis in Ezra 10, verse 11. He says, now, make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do His will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land. And so it was a call to separation, a call to holiness, to be a people distinctly set apart as belonging to God. It's the same call we see extended to us by Peter in verse 15. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. To be holy means to be separate, to be set apart, specifically to be set apart from the sin and moral evil of this world in order to be fully dedicated to God in all things. And that's what we need to look at this morning. We need to look at this call to holiness and specifically how it is fulfilled by love. And so the first thing I want you to see this morning is that the call to follow Christ is a call to a life of holy love. I'll show you that here in 1 Peter chapter 1. First of all, understand that this call to holiness is a call that is firmly rooted in the gospel of God's grace in Christ. I mean, look at the context of this call, going back to verse 8 of 1 Peter 1. Speaking of Christ, he says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, verse 16 says, based on that, be holy as I am holy. And so this whole command for holiness in verses 15 and 16 is bathed in the promise of grace in verses 8 through 13. In other words, we're not on our own here to come up with the holiness that pleases God, the holiness without which no one will see God. It is a part of the gift of salvation. And so what we are to do, Peter says, recognizing what our salvation has brought us into, a new life that is centered on Christ, recognizing that, we are to be intentional about living this new life by setting aside the sins that once controlled us, verse 14, in order to take a firmer hold on the Christ who has now called us to Himself in love. I mean, look how he says that here. Verse 13, therefore, in light of this great salvation, prepare your minds for action. So notice it starts with the mind, just like it does in Romans 12, renewing the mind. The mind, you've got to think like a Christian. You've got to get hold of the truth of Christ in your thoughts so that you're constantly remembering who He is, what He's done, and therefore who you are now in Christ. How He's rescued you from your former darkness in sin and brought you into the light of a new life with Him. So every day you start there with the gospel in your mind, remembering from God's Word who you are in Christ. This is why I'm always saying start with the Word each day. To see Him, to see who you are. Therefore, he says, preparing your minds for action, thinking about who you are in Christ, and being sober-minded. The idea there is clear-headed, clear-sighted, consciously seeing life from God's perspective, knowing from Scripture what He's called you to be, what He's working into you now that you belong to Him. And setting your hope fully on the grace that is yours in Jesus Christ. Again, notice how this is conscious. Consciously orienting your life to Him. Orienting yourself to what He's done and where He is leading you. So that, verse 14 says now, as obedient children, stop. All these things remind us that the call to holiness is not a call to work harder, but to trust deeper. To be who you are in Christ, to be what He's made you. That the holiness God requires comes through the salvation God provides in Christ Jesus. And so the call to holiness is the call to keep drawing near to Christ. Now listen, you have to understand that first of all. If you don't start there, the whole thing goes wrong. So you start with who are you in Christ? Who is He? What has the gospel brought to you? Second, the call to holiness, we must understand, is a call to love what is right and reject what is sinful. Verse 14 again. As obedient children, now that's who you are, that's your identity in Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions or lusts of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. I'm going to say this again and again this morning, but holiness is a love issue, not just a law issue. Holiness comes as the gospel trains your heart to love what is right and good and to reject what is evil and sinful. Notice again how he says this in verse 14. He says, as obedient children, children of this Father who loves you, as His children, do not conform to the passions or lusts of your former ignorance. The tension here, you'll notice, is a tension of loves, a tension between the new love you have for God as Father and the old love or lust that you had for sin. And so again, he begins by reminding us who we are. Who are we? We are children of the Father. The Father whom Ephesians 1:5 says, in love, predestined us for adoption to Himself through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. The purpose of His will, that we might be brought to Him, that we might be holy, that we might walk with Him in love. And so love for God as Father moves us in one direction, obedience to His will. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will obey what I command. Love for the Father moves us in one direction, obedience, while our lusts, those unrestrained passions of our flesh, move us in another, into disobedience and self-centered living. Now, Christian, you've felt that tension, haven't you? probably this very day. And so, the call to holiness is a call to cultivate a deeper love for the Father, to adore Him, to worship Him, and thus to be done with your idols that would displace Him. Holiness, again, is a love issue, a worship issue, not a law issue. And so you ask yourself this question, am I living by love for the Father, desiring His will, seeking what pleases Him? Or am I living under the control of my lusts, being led by my feelings, controlled by my desires? That is how the world lives, right? It's all about me. Validating my feelings, satisfying my desires, gratifying my urges, following my heart. Dear friend, listen. That is the path to self-destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And so the world says, follow your heart. But understand, please, that is satanic advice. It really is. I hope you understand that. Because follow your heart leads you away from the love of God, deeper and deeper into the love of self, into the love of the lusts of your flesh. It leads you away from God, deeper into self. Follow your heart makes an idol of your desires and puts you at the center as it attempts to pull God down from His throne. That is the life that is ruled by the lusts of ignorance. Ignorance of God, ignorance of better things in Christ. But the love we're talking about here is a love that is anchored in Christ, that is alive to His presence, that is greedy for His grace. It's a love that moves us to choose that which is good and right according to His Word and by His power, and to reject everything that is not. And so again, holiness has more to do with love, loving God and loving what God loves, than it does with rules. Holiness leads me to desire what God says is good and right, and to want it with all my heart. Which brings us to the third thing to understand is, and that is, that holiness then is the outworking of Christ-centered love into my life. Now I get that again from verse 15 and 16 in its context. But as He, this Father who has claimed you, has called you, is holy, so you be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, He says. Notice it, in all your conduct. In all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you think. Now that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Indeed, it's higher than the heavens above your head. This is beyond you. Would you agree with that? Be holy as God is holy. Is that an easy thing? It's a hard thing. It's an impossible thing. And yet it is what is commanded of you in Christ. Now, just think about that for a second. This is serious stuff. God commands you, because you belong to Him, to be holy, to be set apart from sin and dedicated to Him in all you do. Now think on that. And so if your understanding of holiness is rules-based, merely a list of things you don't do, this will crush you. Or you'll just give up entirely on the idea of holiness and assume it's not really a command. It must be one of those overstatements like pluck out your eye. Let us sin that grace may abound. But how does Paul answer that one? Never. May it never be. So again, what is holiness? Well, let's be clear here. Holiness is two things that must always be kept together in the Christian's life. Two things. First, it is a separation from sin. Last time, separation from all known sin. A separation from all that is filthy and sinful and unclean as defined by God. And so, yes, the person who is holy will put away sin, as Jude says, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. 1 John 3:5-6. John says, you know that Christ appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. And so there's a conscious putting away of sin in the life of the Christian. The Christian cannot be casual about sin. The Christian can't go on indulging in sin and hiding sin and keeping sin. Wherever the Christian sees sin, it's something that he or she realizes cannot be allowed to remain within the life. But that's only part of it. Because second, holiness is even more. In fact, I will say holiness is mainly a separation unto God. A loving devotion to God. A desire to know and walk with Him. And dear one, listen, this is the real motive and power that leads to holiness. I mean, get this. Make sure you get this. It's more than just a desire to be rid of sin. It is a desire to have more of God. It is to have more of a deeper, sweeter fellowship with Christ. To know His life-giving presence in all of its fullness, in every possible way. And my sin is a hindrance to that deep enjoyment of God which ought to be mine in Christ. And so the reason I want to be done with sin is so that I might have more of an enjoyment and knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, look how Peter says this here. Look how he links it. He says, be holy as He who called you is holy. Come over to Him. Be with Him. Draw near to Him is the idea. And then he quotes Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy as I am holy. I mean, do you get the point of that? God calls them and us to be holy, that we might dwell where He dwells, that we might walk where He walks, that we might enjoy closer, nearer, dearer fellowship with Him. And so the call to holiness is a call to a greater, deeper experience of the love and presence of God. Turning away from the sin and filth God hates, and therefore we don't love it, and turning to the grace and love God gives to those who draw near to Him. Turning from the one in order to turn to the other. Friend, that is holiness. And again, it is a matter of love, not just rules. That is why, by the way, that holiness that is only concerned with rejecting sin always falls short. And if your idea of holiness is focused mainly on the sins that you must avoid. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. If that is your conception of holiness, mainly in the rejection side, and that's it, you, dear friend, I'm sorry, do not understand holiness at all. Holiness is only complete when it flees sin in order to fly to Christ. Let me say it again. Holiness is only complete when it flees sin in order to fly to Christ. Or to put it another way, hatred of evil is not enough by itself. That hatred of evil must spring from a heart that truly loves God's righteousness. Psalm 197, verse 10, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. Which comes first, love the Lord and hate evil. So, to wrap that part up, when you hear this command, be holy, don't think primarily in terms of what you must give up. Think instead of what you have to gain in Christ. Don't focus on what you need to turn from. Just turn from it so you can turn to God and all that He has for you in Christ. The superior satisfaction of a life with Christ. So, for instance, turn from the filth and rot of pornographic pleasures which sicken the soul in order to have the purity of Christ-centered relationships, singleness in service to God, or faithfulness in marriage where Christ's love reigns supreme and satisfies the soul. Turn from the corrupting power of a life given over to self-gratification in whatever form, sex, drugs, entertainment, mindless activities that lead you nowhere near God. Turn from self-gratification to the freeing beauty of a life dedicated to loving God supremely and serving others in His name. Turn from in order to turn to. That brings us into this next thing, and that is to say that the call to be holy then is a call to love like God loves. To love what God loves the way God loves it. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. And there John warns us, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Notice the competing loves there again. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and a pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Notice again this emphasis on love. Loving the right things, not loving the wrong things. That's the heart of holiness. And so there is a tension here between two loves, between love of God, which is good, and love of the world, which is not good. Now, some folks think they see a conflict here. Because after all, John 3:16, they say, tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this passage turns around and says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world." So what's going on here? Is there a conflict? Well, not really. There is a tension. But it's a tension that comes because this word world can be used in different ways. As surely you realize. We can talk about this world as created by God. Psalm 89 verse 11, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, for you formed them." And so the world around us, this world of creation, this physical world is a good thing, right? We're not Gnostics. Is the world good? Yes, God made it and said what? It is good. So it's okay to love trees and forests and sunsets, even beaches if you're into that sort of thing. But then there's the world of people made in God's image. That's what John 3:16 is about. God so loved this world, the broken humanity, that He sent His Son to save a people out of it. And oh, how we praise Him for that. And so that world too, the broken humanity Christ came to save, there's a love there. But then there is the sinful world. This is what John is talking about here. The world and its rebellion. The world is ruled by sin and Satan. The world that rejects God and lives as if there is no God. That's the world we see here. This world of rebellion. And it is this world and its rebellion, this system of man-centeredness that we must not love. In fact, you'll notice James goes even further. James 4, verse 4, James says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with this world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God." If you're in love with this present world system, with all of its baubles and trinkets, and its denial of God, and its self-centered rebellion, its focus on me and mine and what I want, if you're in love with that world, you have set yourself against God. And we see that everywhere today, don't we? If this present world system of rebellion and denial of God has your heart, you've made yourself an enemy of God. You're in trouble. You're in danger. Please hear this. And that's hard stuff for us to take. But it's true for this very simple reason. You cannot serve two masters. You can't love God and walk with Him and at the same time love this world that is walking, even running away from Him. You must make your choice. You must take your stand. Love God, hate sin. Live by love, not by the lusts that define this world. Because here's a truth. You just got to tuck this in and know it. The course of your life will be determined by the love of your heart. The course of your life will be determined by the love of your heart. Thus John says, do not love this world or the things of this world. If anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from this world. And the world, this world we're talking about, is passing away along with its lusts. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So as Christians, you've heard this, and it's true. We are called to live in this world. This is where we live. This is where we serve. This is where we love. This is where we worship for now. We are called to be in this world, but we cannot, under any circumstances, be of this world. Its values cannot be our values. Its loves cannot be our loves. Its life, what it cherishes and lives for, cannot be our life, because our lives must be centered on the Father who loves us and has redeemed us for Himself. Philippians 9:15 says it beautifully, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. But the question is, how do you do that? How do you work that out? And that brings us to this third thing, and that is to understand that Christian holiness is the practical application of Christ-like love. First to God, then to man. Turn now to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. As I was doing this study, I found that many, many people see a tension here between love and holiness and treat them almost like they're opposite things. As if holiness is calling us to turn away from people, you know, get away from those sinners over there, and to build barriers to love, right? To isolate ourselves from people. While love is compelling us to go out to these same people with the gospel and break down these barriers. So how can these seemingly conflicting commands, not to love the world, yet to go into the world with love, how do these two things fit together? Well, they fit together by understanding that true holiness is the right application of a genuine Christ-centered love. Let me show you that from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. Mark says, or actually, Mark records for us, that one of the scribes came up and, hearing Jesus disputing with the Sadducees and really liking the answer that he gave them, asked the question, what commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, goes right along with it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. No greater commandment, he says. Elsewhere in the Bible, it'll go on to say that all the other commandments found in scriptures are fulfilled when we obey these commandments to love. So that would mean that even this commandment we've been looking at, be holy as I am holy, is fulfilled by this command to love. And so I'll just say it again. The command to be holy is fulfilled by the right application of Christ-centered love. Now let me show you that. First, that means that holiness begins with the primary command to love God first. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So it starts there. It starts with verse 29, says, knowing God for who He is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and then loving God with all you got. Loving God, not just with feelings you claim to have, but with the actions of a life fully devoted to Him. I mean, do you remember how Jesus said this love for Him will, in fact, result in obedience to His commands? John 14, verse 15, he makes it very clear. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Now, some of you may have been a little concerned earlier that when I kept saying that holiness is not ultimately about rules, but about love, you might have been concerned that what I meant was that holiness has nothing to do with obedience or commands. Nothing could be further from the truth. There are commands we must obey as Christians. There are clear standards by which we must live every aspect of our lives. God's Word tells us that again and again. But my point, and the point of Scripture, is this. True holiness does not start with commands. It doesn't begin by looking at the law and trying to obey. It starts by loving Christ with a new heart so that I want to obey Him. So that I long to obey Him. So that I'm empowered to obey Him out of gladness. Because I treasure Him and I treasure His presence and I hate the sin that keeps Him from me and me from Him. And so, love for God, which I receive through the gospel, moves my heart to want Him more than I want my old sins. Love for God trains my heart to love His Word. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. Can you say that? Oh, how I love Your law. Is that true of you? It is my meditation. Throughout the day, are you drawn to God's Word where you see Him in the beauty of His holiness, in the wonder and marvel of His self-giving to you through Jesus? And so you see His words and you desire to walk in His way. And thus, His commandments now become sweet to me. They become life to me. 1 John 5, verse 3 says, for this is love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Not to the child of God. Rather than a burden to be borne, God's commandments become a sweet song in our ear. I see them for what they are. God loving me and directing me into the life that Jesus has purchased for me. And so the more I love and treasure God, the more I will long for the holiness that pleases God, and the more I will live in a way that brings me closer and closer to Him in the full satisfaction of my soul. And so holiness grows out of a heart that first of all, primarily loves God most of all. And then second, holiness is demonstrated practically through the love I now show my neighbor because of God. Mark 12, 31, the second command is this, growing out of the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, love here, it's not a matter of feelings I hold inside. It's not a matter of warm fuzzy. It is a matter of actions I take because Christ lives in me. I mean, John tells us that again and again, where in the D group study, which I hope you're all going to be part of because it's so rich. John will come back to this again and again, not telling us to love so that we can somehow make ourselves good enough for God, but because of the new birth and what God has put in us through Christ, He shows us how we will love and how that love will be the key to our holiness. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life. We know that we're genuine Christians. How? Because of the love we have for our brothers. Whoever does not abide in this love abides in death. This love is in the ones who are alive to God. It's not in the ones who aren't. Verse 16, by this we know love. Christ laid His life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk only, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for this love is from God. Whoever has been born of God and knows God will have this love. Verse 12 of the same passage, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And so the road to Christian holiness, a life separated from sin and dedicated to God, the road to Christ-like holiness is cut in our hearts by the power of a Christ-like love. By the way, what that means is any failure at holiness is really a failure of love. The more this love gets into us, the more it will empower us, first, to want to obey God in all things, and second, to be willing to go to our neighbor, not to do what they do, not to join in their sin, not to live as they live, but to serve them in Christ's name, to give ourselves to them for their good, to show them through our faith and love that there is more to life than just this world. And so the power of this love acted out enables us to live no longer to please ourselves, but to please Him. Church, listen. Walking that road of love is what leads to genuine holiness. It determines how I treat you. I'm not going to sin against you if I'm loving you. I'm not going to harm you if my goal is your good through Christ. It determines how I've been. I won't put a stumbling block at your feet if I love you. I won't do anything to hinder you from Christ if I'm loving you. Now, at this point, I had a whole bunch of practical illustrations that I wanted to share with you that would just show you how this works out in our lives. And I realized very quickly that I would simply run out of time in doing that. So that's going to be your homework assignment. But let me just close this morning with a statement from with a scripture, and then a statement. First of all, a passage of scripture, Romans 13, verse 8 to 14. Now, you can turn there or just listen to me, but as you listen, I want you to see how this is a call to a love-produced holiness. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, to wake up from the sleep of death. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Just a note, let us turn from the darkness of sin to the light of life in Christ. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires or lusts. Now, do you see how this is a call to holiness and how holiness is the fulfillment of love? Love for God leads me to obey Him, to put away the darkness of sin and walk in the light of His grace. Why? Because I love Him and I want to stay near Him and I want to be with Him and enjoy Him more than anything else. And then love for neighbor leads me to do no harm. I'm not going to try to take your wife if I love you and I love my wife. I'm not going to steal from you if I love you and I want you to be free to enjoy your stuff. I'm not going to slander your name. I'm not going to ignore your needs. I'm not going to get in your way. Why? Because I love you for Christ's sake. I want to serve you for Christ's sake. Love fulfills holiness, brings us to holiness. And in the statement, if I had to summarize all this up, and I had another 30 minutes to flesh it out, we go on to see some things Paul says in Romans 14, and then I would summarize it all with this. Here's how we need to understand it. God is great, so get over yourself and live for Jesus. Christ is worthy, so get over yourself and love your neighbor. Put God first in all and love others for Him. Put God first in what you say. Put God first in how you dress. Put God first in how you live. Put God first in how you spend your time. Put God first in all. But how do you do that? Well, that would take us right back to where we began. And that is, you began by believing the gospel. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You turn from the one, the sins that bound you, to the other, the Christ who loves you. From the sins of your earlier life and of your mind and of your selfishness to the Christ who transforms your life day to day by His gracious presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we know, if we've read Your Word at all, we've heard it this morning, that we are called to holiness. And so often we have looked at holiness as though it were, in fact, just another law to be kept, another rule to be accomplished, another list to be memorized. And yet we found ourselves falling ever short, growing ever more upset and angry at our failures. And here again the gospel reminds us that the whole thing centers upon Christ by faith. The whole thing begins with the love of God that has been spilled out within our hearts. That we would love God most of all so that we desire to obey His law from a new heart. We love it. We love His truth. We love what He commands because it gives us more and more a nearness of Him. And we love our neighbors with our actions as well as our words, because they are made in the image of the God we love, and we've been called to serve them in the name of the Christ we love. And so, Lord, would You deepen the love of our hearts as You bring us by faith again to see Christ died for our sins, rose on the third day to give us a new life in Him, a life that is holy, set apart from sin and self, dedicated to Christ and His glory, day by day, growing in it. Would You grant that even now to the one who cries out to You? And Lord, where You show us our sin and You show us that we are trapped in our sin, would You give us grace to turn from these things to You? For the one who looks and sees that they are lost, that they are still in their sin, that they are under the judgment that is coming, would You give them grace to turn from those sins and run to You for Your promised grace? Would You grant that, Lord, to the one who cries out to You? The one who cries out to You will be saved. Would You grant that for the sake of Jesus, our Lord? Amen.